The following is a part of the Radio Memphis On Demand service. It originally aired live on Radio Memphis and has been edited for time.
A double shot for you right here on Radio Memphis. You're tuning into Memphis Metal Mondays with me, Dirty D, hanging out with my whole host, Mr. Phil Berger. Hey, how about some Magic Touch from Jim Crean? And right before that, you heard the title track off his album, Insatiable. Some good stuff, man. What do you think?
Definitely good stuff.
way to catch the mic there, man.
Yeah, you know.
Well, what's really cool, and those of you who may not understand, you know, this is a voice that's been around for about the better part of 35 years, okay? And, you know, and Jim, you know, he's an award-winning vocalist. He's a songwriter. He does recording. He's a touring musician. And, again, you know, doing it for so long, he's fronted a ton of regional and national recording artists. He's won numerous awards, you know, over the course of time for Best Original Male Vocalist. He was also, believe it or not, he was inducted into the Nightlife Hall of Fame Lifetime Achievement Award. Now, not only is he also, and a lot of people may know and may remember, he is a vocalist for the popular tribute band Hair Nation, and he is also the front man for the Apicy Brothers. Remember, we were talking about that as far as earlier very on. Cool. You know, of course, you know, what you guys just heard was actually a couple of tracks off of his personal solo album, Insatiable. And of course, with that whole album, he's got a ton of people that's like the who's who, you know, as far as in the music business that's on this particular album. Of course, he's got Carmen Apicy, you know, of course, he's got Vinny Apicy on there, along with Mike Tramp. You know, remember Mike, as far as with White Lining and everybody? You know, he's got Frank Dominio, Angel, okay, is on this.
I know, and you've been tripping about that.
I've been totally tripping on that because I think that is absolutely beautiful. You just have to understand how important Angel was in order, you know, to glam and hair and definitely everything else. Huge. He's wound up working with, you know, Dave Constantino, you know, Stan Mikzek, he's worked with on this particular album, you know, Steve Major, you know, Roger Banks, it goes on and on, you know. He winds up even Jimmy Bain, before Jimmy had passed away, yeah. He's actually on this particular album.
We talked about that, I know, last time.
Yeah.
That's real cool.
Yeah, and Rowan Robinson, you know.
I know you have a crush on Rowan.
Well, because I loved him in Lock Up the Wolves and the Dio. Look, I can continue going on and on about this, but you know what's really cool?
We can talk to him.
We can talk to Jim. Jim is on the phone, man. All right. How are you doing, Jim? Hello.
How are you?
Hey, honey. How are you?
Good.
Thank you so much for spending some time with me and Phil here on Radio Memphis and Memphis Metal Mondays.
Hey, guys.
Yeah. How's everything going with you?
Well, it's been pretty busy year last year, and you know, we just released an album with the Peace Brothers called Sinister that just came out in October, and we've been doing some shows with that.
Yeah.
And then, and of course, you know, the Insatiable album that you guys have been playing, so, you know.
Fantastic stuff. You did such a great job with that. And I'm so glad that you had reached out to us, you know, and let us know that you had this other stuff going. And as I was going through some of your stuff, Jim, I didn't realize, man, you're like everywhere. You work with like everybody.
Yeah, been around for a long time.
Well, how do you manage to seep yourself into the music world like that? I mean, you know, you've become like part of everybody's being when you do this. You know that, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think longevity is the answer right with that. You know, I've just been doing it for so long, and you know, you just get your name out there. That's kind of how it works.
Yeah. Now, where are you originally from, sweetheart?
I'm from New York.
Good for you. What part of New York?
A city called Buffalo, New York.
Okay, well, the only reason why I asked this is that, you know, a lot of people don't realize, yes, I spent most of my time here in Memphis, but I was actually born in Goshen.
Where's that?
Goshen, New York, not too far from Monroe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, not too far from there. I had family in Washingtonville. Of course, I also had family in Jersey and stuff like that. So, and, you know, it's funny because when you mention about, you know, kind of, you know, being from New York, you were also in an area where there was a lot of music stuff going on during that time period. You know, that was a pretty slamming place, you know, as far as coming up, you know, for all the new acts and everybody to be busting out of, correct?
Yeah, especially when I was coming up, you know, in the early 80s like that.
Hmm.
you know, that there was a really big movement here in New York that, you know, you could go back and forth from where I'm from, Buffalo, upstate New York, all the way up to the city. And a lot of bands were breaking out of the city. So, you know, that was kind of right around the time when the West Coast thing was happening, the Sunset Strip stuff was going on.
Right, right.
So there was East Coast, West Coast. So, you know, I chose to stay on the East Coast and go with that route, which a lot of great bands came from the East Coast, you know.
Of course. Of course it did. Are you kidding? So, I mean, you yourself, I mean, have you always been able to sing, or is this something you stumbled on, or, you know, so what's your story and what made you start doing this?
Yeah, I just started doing it at a young age. You know, I picked up the guitar first and realized that, you know, I was better at singing than playing guitar. And
okay.
I just really stayed with that, you know.
Okay.
And I became really passionate about it and, you know, I started doing it at such a young age that I was making records by the time I was 17, 18 years old.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, so in touring and things like that. So at that point, it's just, you know, I really, really just formed and became who I am, you know, that way.
Well, sure. I mean, and, you know, and for those of you that are tuned in, you know, we're hanging out on Memphis Metal Mondays and we're talking to the wonderful Mr. Jim Crean. And looking at your list of everybody that shows up on the Insatiable album, I'm just curious, is it safe for me to say that a lot of these people you kind of grew up with?
Definitely.
I mean,
you know, you said Frank Dumino earlier, and that's cool that you gave Frankie a big shout out and made a big deal of him, because he deserves it, because Angel was one of my biggest influences in the 70s. I mean, you know,
perfect.
They were a band that just were so underrated that I felt that.
Man, they are so underrated. What are you talking about? They deserved credit for anybody that wanted to go glam and wanted to go hair and wanted to go to have that whole image and everything. They were it. They were fantastic.
I agree. And the songwriting was unbelievable. So,
bingo.
So it was really cool that I was able to get Frank, you know, to sing on my record.
That's fantastic.
You know, it was a cool story. You know, I was, we were on tour with the Peace Brothers and, Frank did a show. We did a show in Vegas, and Frank happened to be out at the show, and I invited him up to come up and do a couple with us.
Ah,
and then afterwards, you know, we just had one more song to cut for my new record, and I asked Frank to just to do a guest vocal on it. Well, he did such a good job. We did a duet style, and we did the Dio song "Caught in the Middle," which was really cool. So I had Vinny Appice on there, and so he asked Jimmy Bain to do it, and as it turned out, that was Jimmy's last recording before he passed away.
Yes, yes.
But it was cool to get Frank on there, and I think Frank did a bang up job on it. I thought he sounded great.
You are amazing. That's amazing, and good. You know what? Kudos to you, man. Like I said, because again, I'm and Phil, you know, my buddy Phil here, you know, my co-host is hanging out with me. You know, he'll tell you every time we go into like lessons about, you know, a lot of what was impacted, you know, at a certain time period. And I'll always have this thing where I'll say something about Angel, and I'll also say something about Hanoi Rocks. It's like the two groups that I always bring up that I'm like, man, look, if it wasn't for these two groups, there was a certain thing that wouldn't have happened, you know, with a certain style of music. And so, you know, but looking at this list, I mean, it's kind of beautiful to me, you know, for you, Jim, because, you know, you wound up, you know, like I said, these are your comrades, these are your friends. And, you know, you guys grew up all together developing a certain sound and developing a certain style and developing a certain genre that everybody to this day has come to know and love. And, you know, and that's kind of a crazy cool thought.
Definitely, and what's cool about that is, you know, all those guys on my records are still out there actively, you know, continuing on with their careers, which is really cool. And in this day and age, it's really hard to do, you know. We've all gotten a little older, and it's, you know, and I always used to say when I was younger, the strong will survive in this business, because this business is so tough.
It is.
And only the strong will survive. And everybody on my record are warriors, as far as I'm concerned. They're guys that most of them, you know, achieved a lot of, you know, fame and notoriety and that, but they all stayed humble. And that was what was cool about this album. You know, everybody's pretty grounded, and it was really easy to put the whole album together with like you said, all my friends.
Yeah, really. Yeah. So Insatiable, I mean, you sat down and you're like, it was that your thought? Was like, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to make a record and I want all my friends on it. I mean, is that what you were thinking?
No, not at all.
Okay.
What happened was, you know, I had a bunch of, my last album was called Velvet Crush.
Okay.
And, you know, I did that album in 2011. So I started writing songs right after that to do a quick follow-up. And it just, you know, then I joined the Peace Brothers band, and I'd been touring with them for about 5 years. So
yes.
I'm just really, and then I do the Hair Nation project as well, like you were saying earlier.
Absolutely.
So it keeps me really busy live and touring and things like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just had all these songs written from the Velvet Crush days.
Okay.
So, you know, Carmine has his own label called Rocker Records, which
yes.
he signed me to.
Oh, perfect.
When he signed me to the deal, you know, I gave him all these demos that I had, and he loved them. And that's when I just decided, well, you know what? I'm going to ask a lot of my friends if they want to help me out and just be on the record in some facet.
Okay.
So I was really able to get everybody I asked jumped at it, you know.
Oh, wow.
So it was really cool. Like, I got Don Jameson from That Metal Show, who's a good friend of mine.
Yes.
He did the intro to that.
And he did a fantastic, I listened to that. Don did a fantastic job.
Wasn't that cool how he did that?
It just, he did.
So ballsy. It just really sets the tone of the record. And then, of course, you said Mike Tramp, who's a very dear friend of mine, and he, you know, he jumped on at the chance to do it. So
awesome.
Mike's great. Frank Domino, of course, like I said, Phil Lewis from LA Guns is on it as well.
Yes.
Tony Franklin from Blue Murder.
Yes.
The great Robbie Lochner from Jack Russell's Great White, and he was in Rob Halford's Fight Band.
Yep.
He plays on it. He's great. Rowan Robertson from Dango, who's and Dio, of course, mm-hmm. he's on it. Just so many great players are on this record that, you know, and of course, Vinny and Carmine are on there as well.
Of course.
That's really cool.
And that's what's so beautiful about this, Jim, is because everybody that's all your friends, you know, make a fantastic album with you. But what's funny is, like, for somebody like me, and this is not like, I'm not a telltale person about my age, okay? Because I'm young. I'm always young. I'll forever be young, okay?
Right.
However,
except worship me on my birthday.
Worship me on my birthday. But you know, I said, of course, right? I remember having the Blue Murder albums. I remember having the Lock Up the Wolves. I remember having, you know, the stuff with Angel. I remember, and it's so funny because each of those guys, you know, White Lion, all of it, they all had such a very specific sound to themselves. And you know, and the fact that they come together on this, it was to me, it's like, if this isn't like one of those, like, there's such a thing as super groups, this is like one of those, like, super albums, you know what I mean? That everybody shows up together at one time, you know, and makes this work. And so to see this, it was like, okay, he's had to grow up with them. He had to be really cool friends with them. And it's just, you know, this is something that is very, very helpful and is very, very cool to me to know that this still happens, you know, that everybody just at the end of the day wants to get in the playground, share jacks, and you know what I mean, and play.
Well, I mean, like you said earlier, I mean, all these guys are my friends that are on the record. And so it was really easy for this to come together for me. It was just a matter of, you know, calling them up and asking them, hey, you want to play on a track?
Yeah.
They were just, absolutely. What do you need me to do? I mean, Mike Tramp was awesome about it. I mean, me and Mike do a tour we did it for the past 4 or 5 years.
Right.
Of the States. Me and him tour around the States together.
Okay.
And he actually canceled a gig to go in the studio with me to do our song.
Oh, wow. How cool is that?
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't get cooler than that. I mean, he was like, you know what? We had a date booked, and he was like, let's cancel that date and get in the studio and do your record. I'd rather do that. And I was like, wow. I mean, you just don't hear that type of stuff. So that just shows the kind of class and caliber of a friend that Mike really is. You know, he's just a stand-up guy like that.
Well,
know?
That speaks volumes of you too, my friend. You know what I mean? So,
sure.
Yeah.
And then, of course, I got Steve Major, who's an amazing producer. He's produced, I got 4 studio solo albums out, and Steve produced 3 of them. So,
oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah, Steve's just the only. Yeah, I really trust him with everything I have. You know.
Yeah, yeah.
I know you can just do whatever I do and give it to him, and I know it's going to come out exactly the way.
So
I
you're
intended
able
it to.
So you're able to come up with all of your stuff, and then you're able to place it in his hands, and he knows. He knows
exactly.
He knows. Okay.
You know, he knows. It comes out exactly how I intended it to. My vision of the songs. You know.
Oh, wow.
I don't have to call him and say, "Oh, well, this is what I was thinking. I don't really like what you did." He finds my vision. I mean, he's worked with me for whatever 12 years, 15 years.
Okay.
So he knows. You know, he knows. But he just does a really good job getting that out of me, you know, and really knowing me and him are on the same page when it comes to that stuff. So
yeah,
I really love working with Steve.
That's perfect. Now you being under Rocker Records, I mean, so that's kind of funny because, you know, you're working with, you know, with Carmine, and it's like, so you get all this stuff together, right? And you're like, hey, this is what I'm thinking about. And so, you know, he wants to work with you. I mean, how does that relationship work? You know what I mean? Because you almost feel like sometimes you want, like, it's like your friends, you know each other, you grew up together, or, you know, you worked on projects together, and then you've got somebody who's in charge of a label who wants to represent you. I mean, how did that work out for you?
You know, when I signed the deal with Carmine, it was he gave me total creativity.
Perfect.
He totally handed it to me, said, well, you know, get whoever you want on it, you know, however the songs. I mean, I had a demo. He had to listen to the songs and demos that I sent him, you know, to make sure it was, you know, going to fit and work. And he loved it. And he basically just told me, you know, get whoever you want on it.
Right.
You know, he really gave me full creativity for the record, which is nice. And his A&R guy, Mike, he just totally gave me full carte blanche, said, you know, just, I mean, all the way down to the packaging the artwork. You know, I use this great Russian artist, Ed Unitsky, out of Russia.
Oh, cool.
He's done my last two albums. He did Velvet Crush, and he did this one, Insatiable. So he's like a real famous artist in Russia. He does like all the romance novels and stuff.
Yeah,
really good.
Man, that is so fantastic.
If you look at the packaging on my records, it's like I don't just put out the, you know, a quick little. I really put a lot of artwork in there, booklets, really try and make it, because as a buyer, you know, a lot of these albums get sold in Europe and Japan, and in Europe and Japan, they're really all about the packaging.
See how perfect is that? And see, here's the thing about that, is that we all know just how important that really is. Because there was a time when, I mean, you know, who you got your art, or who you got to do your art, you know, who you got to do your packaging, it was like just as important almost as making that darn song. You know what I'm saying? Because
if not more,
because people would be more mesmerized into you know, grabbing it and, you know, and possibly buying it, you know, and things like that. And
right.
So hearing you talk about you went to pick out this person that you work with out of Russia, and, you know, and about this packaging and about all this extra things, and it's like, oh my God, it's still there and it still exists. But when you're talking about stuff for, you know, the UK and, you know, across seas and stuff, yeah, I mean, of course it makes sense, you know. I'm just glad to hear it.
Kiss did it, and you know, you and I are from the, you know, the Prodigy is being little kids in the 70s, and when you bought those Kiss albums, what'd you do? You stared at the album cover, you know.
Of course.
You really got lost in that whole thing. Well, all three of us, me, you, and Phil.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's just the way it is. And that's what my albums kind of reflect the same way.
Mm-hmm.
You look at the album covers, the jackets, you read all the liner notes.
Yep.
I mean, it keeps you in, here's the thing, and I've always thought this, it keeps you in tune to the record. Because if you got all this stuff to keep you occupied while you listen to the record, what are you doing? You're actually listening to the record.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in this day and age with all the social media, people just fly through this stuff, you know.
I know.
They skip through the songs, and if it kind of catches them, they'll listen to it. But then come tomorrow, they forgot about it.
Right.
Unless you give them something to kind of preoccupy them with. And that's kind of why I do that with the big packaging.
I really want
them to stay with the product, you know. I want them involved.
Love it. That is, you know, I'm so glad you showed up and you said all of this. Man, I've been waiting for you. I wanted somebody to hear it from somebody that knows what he's doing. That's perfect. Absolutely perfect. You're awesome, Jim.
Well, I don't know if I know what I'm doing. I've been doing it for a long time, but who knows if I know what I'm doing.
Hell, man, you've been doing this for way too long. Of course you knew what the hell you're doing. But that's just it. I mean, you know, and I would like to say that it's actually providing the opportunity for somebody to make an investment into your album by having all of those things, you know, around and available. But this is the funny thing, is that this was the ultimate, that was one of the main connections when people had when you went to go look for albums and you went to go look for something to listen to, and, you know, and things like that, you know. And it was you know, there was a whole story, you know, behind all of that. I mean, remember Storm Thurgeson, you know, the one who did all the stuff, you know, all the
Floyd and
the Floyds and all the different album covers, you know, and things like that. It was like the first one to really be known for album art, you know. And it was like it made everybody's music just completely catapult, because everybody had this thing for it. And
there was a whole group the hypnosis group that was doing all that artwork. And mm-hmm. I mean, and they did the, you know, they did the Pink Floyd stuff. And I mean, there was a book that came out like a year ago. Mm-hmm. It was like $150 that had all those.
That, I mean, there were several. There were several artists and stuff like that. But Jim, I mean, you know, do you understand that? You understand the actual, you know, the cultural and you know, and the actual impact, you know, by doing all those things that people will have with music, you know, and that's important.
Well, I mean, because I still go out and support. If I like an artist, I'll go out and I'll still buy the record. I won't buy the downloads. I'll go out and buy the actual CD or vinyl or, mm-hmm. or whatever they have out. I'll actually go do that. And because, you know, to me, it's all about supporting the artist and keeping the longevity of the artist out there.
Right.
I mean, if, you know, if you make these records and no one buys them, well, eventually you're going to stop making records.
See?
You know, and I've kind of lived by that philosophy. And every time I make a record, I go, well, hopefully this isn't my last one, because if it doesn't do well, I'm not going to make another one. And I've been blessed that every album that I've done has overexceeded what I actually hoped it would do. So, and this album, Insatiables, is blowing my mind on the record, on the sales of the physical copies.
Oh, that's awesome. Good for you.
Yeah, we sold tons of physical copies of it. Now, and I'm really happy about that. It shows me that people still do care about having nice packaging and the full product in their hands, you know.
Perfect. That makes me feel good knowing, and it makes me feel awesome hearing that, you know. Now with your solo stuff, of course, you mentioned, and as everybody, you know, been tuning in and hanging out with us, you know, we're hanging out with Jim Crean, and you know, who also is the front man for Hair Nation, who also, you know, is front for, you know, for the Peace Brothers. You got all of this going on. How are you balancing all of this out?
I just keep busy. I mean, you know, like I said, we just did the new album with the Peace Brothers. It's a Sinister album. It's came out on vinyl.
Yes.
Came out on disc, and it also got re-released in Japan already, and Ward Records. So it's on Steam Hammer in Germany. So it's all around the world. I mean, this is an international release that we have, and it's we've been hit. You know, we made the Billboard charts. We are at number 31 on the Billboard charts.
Wow.
I mean, who can say that in this day and age? It's a hard rock album on the Billboard charts.
So yeah, the fact that they're paying attention to that
was cool. That was a big notch on our bedpost. You know, I mean, that was a big one.
Yeah.
So you've got that album out, and we're doing some big shows with that. We're opening for Ace. We're going out on tour with Ace Frehley.
Okay.
From Kiss.
Yes, yes.
We're doing that in Long Island. Staten Island. We're doing that in February. And then Carmine's being inducted into the Heavy Metal Hall of Fame.
Oh, wow.
And we're doing a big show in January, January 25th at NAMM.
Yes.
We do this big introduction thing. And, induction thing, and we're doing that, and we're doing that. So we got some cool stuff really on the horizon with that band. Hair Nation stays steady, playing out a lot. You know, it's a regional tribute band that I do.
Okay.
And of course, I'm making a new record right now, a follow up to Insatiable. All the songs are written. I have this really great guitar player, musician, Steph Hond, his name is.
Okay.
And he played with Paul Di'Anno from Iron Maiden.
Paul Di'Anno's
guitar player. And he's currently playing with Chris Holmes from Wasp.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So he's playing with him now.
Okay.
But he's also in my band. He's in my Jim Crean band. And he's a French guitar player. And he's just
an
unbelievable
goodness.
Musician. This guy is just a class act, great guy. And me and him wrote some great songs. I mean, the new album's going to be just killer, and I'll make sure you get an advanced copy of it.
Yeah, are you kidding? That would be and you guys got to come back and stuff, and you got to tell me about the experiences on that one for sure. And that's so cool, Jim, because it's like you're being this tastemaker, you know, with all these cool people that you get to sit down and create music with, you know, and you kind of plug in with them, and I guess that's for me. This is the thing, and this common denominator that I'm seeing is that you're able to kind of plug in with kind of everybody. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I just try and, you know, we just try and work really hard at what we do. And, you know, I just like staying busy with music, you know. I think that's the key to longevity. I mean, I've been in the game for so long that there's a reason for it, because you just gotta keep plugging away. I mean, the minute you get stale or stagnant, you don't stay in the game.
You don't stay in the game at all if you sit there and you stand still for 2 seconds, right? You know,
I agree.
That's kind of what winds up happening. So, you know, as far as the stuff with the Peace Brothers, what's the first show for you that everybody can catch you at right now? Anything you're doing?
We're doing that one in California. We're doing that one on the 25th of January, that induction of the Hall of Fame for Carmine.
Okay.
That's going to be really cool. Eddie Trunk's hosting it, and it should be really just a really good thing. That's in January 25th, but then we're doing February 2nd. We're playing with Ace Frehley,
okay,
in Staten Island.
Now, when you guys do this, is, you know, the album lineup and guest appearances, is it everybody is going to be that's on the album, or is everybody going to be there all at the same time, or is this on separate?
No. That would be crazy. I mean, it would be great, but you know, that's another album that's got all star lineup, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That would be awesome, but no, it's just we have a touring band that we go with.
Okay.
I'm the main singer, and we got an East Coast and a West Coast band.
Oh,
we got
nice.
The Okaya Sisters in the West Coast, who are just amazing players. They play with everybody. I mean, they're just really well known on the West Coast. They play with a lot of big name bands.
Right.
And then they play with and then on the East Coast we have two guys, Jimmy and Artie from New York City, who are also acclaimed players, great players.
Mm.
And we do the East Coast with them, and we've done a bunch of runs together, and it's been great. I love playing with that band.
Oh, fantastic.
So that's the version we're going to have on the East Coast, and we use the Arcaya Sisters on the West Coast.
That's cool. That's cool that you guys have it set up that way.
It makes more sense. I mean, it just, everybody knows their parts, they know their roles. I mean, because with the Peace Brothers, let's face it, it's definitely about Vinny and Carmine.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really cool show. It's it's not just them two beating on drums. It's an actual concert, you know.
Perfect.
It's a real concert. You get really enjoyed hearing all the songs from, you know, Ronnie's career and from Dio all the way down to Rod Stewart and
right.
Wallace, Blue Murder, as you said before.
Oh,
so it's a really good show.
It is a good show.
And my Hair Nation band, I play with my fiance is a drummer. She's just amazing.
Oh, look at you. How lucky is that, man?
Yeah, she's just great. Her name's Colleen, and she's just an unbelievable drummer.
Well, you tell Colleen that I think it's cool as hell that she's a drummer.
Yeah, she's
and
great.
Any
she
chick,
just does a great job.
Any
she's
chick,
actually on Insatiable, too. She's on a song called Miss Me with the great Dave Constantino from Talas. Those two are on that album.
Okay.
That song.
She's a chick.
Play drums on that.
Yeah, she's a lady.
I got a really good band with that Hair Nation. I mean, we've been together 18 years.
Oh my God. Oh, okay. Yeah, you might want to keep her. Chick can play the drums, man, can write her own ticket. I'm gonna tell you that right now. That I think that is just that's sexy. That's cool.
She's great.
I do, man.
She's
I think
great.
That's I think
you know,
that's
I
cool
these,
as hell.
I see all these, you know, girl bands that come out and like all these Iron Maiden bands and Priest bands and all these you know tribute bands, they have all females in it, which are really cool.
Yes,
and I say to her all the time. I mean, she's as good, if not better, than most of them all out there.
Aww.
I mean, she's just a talent in herself, you know. So
well, how awesome is that for you? Not only do you get to do what you love, you got somebody you love that also does the same thing you do and love it and stuff. And so when you got your whole world, no wonder your world comes together so quickly and easily. That makes so much sense.
It definitely works. It makes life a lot easier. It definitely works. And
yeah.
What's cool is, and then when I'm out with the brothers, you know, I bring her out on tour with me as well. So she acts as a kind of a road manager for us. She does all that cool stuff for us. So
oh, perfect.
It's just a great family. We're playing with the brothers, the Peace Brothers. It's just, we got a really cool thing. It's just a great gig.
I'm
really blessed to be a part of it.
I'm so glad. And I'm so glad that we got to meet. And I'm so glad.
Absolutely.
And I'm going to tell you, anything that we can do for you here, you know, at Radio Memphis, you let me know. You've got my contact information and stuff like that.
Sure. I mean, when the new album comes out, like I said, I'll make sure you get an advanced copy, and you know, we can maybe do an interview or I can do a couple songs before anybody else hears them, you know.
Perfect. We can do any of that, you know, absolutely. And of course, you know, and talk with you and about all the crazy coolness that you've got going on. And if there's anything else I can help you with, or Phil can help you with, man, just let us know.
I appreciate that.
Not a problem. Now, look, if anybody is anybody wanting to really reach out to you, what's the best way that people can get to know you? What's the best way?
There's two ways. Obviously on Facebook, mm-hmm. It's Jim, JimCrean is my last name. Mm-hmm. And I have a fan page and I have, you know, personal page on that. Then you can always go to just www.jimcrean.net. It's that simple.
Okay.
And that's got everything on there. You can purchase the records on
perfect,
CDs, t-shirts, all that cool stuff's on there. So
awesome. Well, then they need to go and do that. We're gonna be following you and hunting you down and stuff like that. And who knows? Like I said, you may be out on the road, and we may even send you a message going, "Hey, call in from wherever you're at and tell us what you see."
That might be a cool idea. Maybe we can do that with the brothers when we're out on tour. We can call in. We can do something.
That would be fantastic. Absolutely. In fact, yeah, we'll hunt you guys down. Especially if it's on a Monday night, and I know you guys are running around or you got that free moment. I'm gonna send you a text. Be like, "All right, where are you?"
Yeah, for sure. We'll hopefully be able to connect that way. That'd be a lot of fun.
Perfect. Well, listen, sweetheart, get you some rest. Again, if you need anything, you let me know. What I am going to do is I'm going to play another song from the album. I have Follow Your Heart queued up, unless you want to choose something else.
You know, everybody seems to like that one. So, yeah, give it a shot.
All right.
That's a great one. And then there's that song Miss Me I told you about. That feature has Colleen on there and Dave. That would be a cool one, too. So,
you know what? Because it's you, brother, hold on. Well, I'm not even going to let you off the phone until I make sure it's in queue. Hold on. you're like, isn't that cool that we can do it like that, too?
All right.
I tell you what. Yeah, we went into this interview with a double shot. We're going out with a double shot of you. How about that?
That's how you do it.
That's exactly how you do it, man. You're the first one that I've done that with, honey. So you can actually, you can claim that title right there. We got a little, Follow Your Heart and a little Miss Me. Hey, we got a little Miss Me for everybody. So I will make sure that everybody, you know, has a little fun with that. Baby, you have a fantastic night, okay?
Well, I appreciate both of you guys taking the time. And I'll keep you guys posted when the new record's coming out for sure.
Perfect. All right. We'll talk soon, baby.
All right, good talking to you guys.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Jim Crean, what do you think?
Actually, really cool.
He was cool as hell, man. Yeah. This is what's funny is, and everybody maybe doesn't understand why I have this, you know, like, oh my God, that's so cool. Because you know me, I normally get to catch up with the people I do interviews with. I try to catch up with them beforehand, mm-hmm. just, you know, to say hello and introduce myself and, you know, go over like the do's and don'ts and not of me, you know, for me, for them, that kind of stuff. And so this was just blindly, hey, here's my music. Hey, I'd love to talk to you. Hey, you know, and it was like, let's do an interview. It's like, yeah, okay, cool. And, you know, and here we are. And so, I mean, we got to know him as much as everybody else did that was tuned in.
Yeah. It's nice sometimes flying by the seat of your pants.
It is. It is.
I do it all the time.
It makes
life interesting.
But you know, like I said, just all the group. I mean, inherently the group of people that you know that surrounds him and that he gets to work with and stuff. I mean, there's parts. And you're old enough to remember too, so don't act like you're like wet behind the ears or young. I mean, you were trying to be all cool and quiet. I was like, dude, whatever.
I don't know what you're talking
about. Whatever. You were like smack in the middle of all of that too, so don't even act like you don't know what we're talking about.
I had the Angel albums.
You see? I mean,
that's not gonna lie.
That's a beautiful thing, man. You know what I mean?
And you know what?
They were brilliant. They were brilliant songwriters.
I'll tell you what. Like, I'm gonna actually go out and look into this album because I was a huge fan of White Lion.
Oh my God, Mike Tramp, another amazing person.
His voice was
amazing.
Awesome.
Are you kidding?
Vito on guitar was absolutely insane.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Greg and James holding down the rhythm section mm-hmm. was awesome. Great band that was so. If they would have came out 2 years earlier,
mm-hmm.
they wouldn't have just been as marginalized, I think, as they are.
Right.
Because as a guitar player, Vito was like breaking ground.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I know there's a lot of animosity between those guys now. You know, not all of them. I think it's most of the animosity is between Mike and Vito. But yeah, I mean, super cool band. And like, he's still, I heard a link from him doing an acoustic set not too long ago. And I'll tell you what, his voice is still really strong.
Right.
And so, yeah, I'm going to check it out just for that, if nothing else.
Well, I mean, and, you know, just like I said, you know, the several people, you know, and of course, you know, the ones I'm completely going crazy over. You got to remember something, too. He's also got Tony Franklin on there. Now, Tony Franklin, cool. We mentioned Blue Murder. Okay, now, those of you, if you are true diehard fans, you know, of Carmine, and you understand, okay, the first Blue Murder. Yep. I'm sorry, I'm going to call it out, but the first album, the first Blue album, you know, with Lot, you know, Lot Me and Jelly Roll, you know, and all of that. The first one, I mean, brilliant.
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant. Yeah. Tony Franklin
from The Firm.
Okay, you said it. Okay, you said
from Power Station.
Yeah, he worked Paul Rogers, yeah. All of that, okay? Yeah. You know, all of that and stuff. He worked with Dave Gilmore. He's worked with several people. So the fact that he's got his hands and his fingers on it, this is, you know, this is one of those things where this is a beautiful project. And so you guys, you know, Insatiable, you know, Jim Crean, you need to look it up. You need to check it out. JimCrean.net, you know, just Jim Crean. You plug it into Facebook. You heard him here, you know, on Radio Memphis and Memphis Metal Mondays. But what I need to do is I promise everybody a double shot, and I promise Jim a double shot. So we're going to go ahead and play that for you guys right here. And check this out, because it's only happening on Radio Memphis right now.
The proceeding was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated and originally aired live on Radio Memphis. Any offers or advertisement contained may not still be valid. All rights are reserved, and copyright is held by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. For more, look for all the RMOD players at radio-memphis.com.